I remember years ago riding in the van at Teen Challenge. Brother and Sister Brody was sitting on the seat right behind Susan and I. I was driving, she was riding shotgun, as she usually does. She points out everything. There's a car over there. The red light's fixing to change. You're going too fast. But Brother Brody and I were talking about the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the goodness of God, miracles. And I said, Brody, who has to have faith? The one being prayed for or the one doing the prayer? For healing to take place, who has to have the faith? Because several times Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And there was other times when the person couldn't have faith, thinking of Lazarus and the boy of the widow of Nain. They were dead. He gave me the greatest answer. And he always humiliated me in doing so, because he would laugh and he'd say, Bernie, my boy, don't you know the answer to that? And I'd say, if I knew the answer, I wouldn't have asked you. He said, it doesn't really matter as long as faith is present. The faith in the stripes and the claims of Jesus. So I'm wondering, as I look at this, somebody touched heaven. If you've got faith, you can touch heaven for others and see their world change. Maybe not the second that you pray, but you will see their world change. Because every time you pray, every time you put forth the faith, God moves on that faith. When you're praying for a lost loved one, every time you pray, God gives them another opportunity. God sends the Holy Spirit to them and beckons and pulls and tugs. Every time you pray 1,000 times a day, then there's 1,000 opportunities going his way or her way. I believe that with everything that's in me. And that's what Brody was confirming to me. The faith has to be present. And we release that faith. And when we release the faith, God puts it into action. So in Exodus chapter 17, verses 10 through 13, here is faith in action. So Joseph fought the Amalekites, or Amalekites, whichever, as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands. one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. I thank God for the privilege of standing in the gap, to be able to stand between trouble and somebody. It's a great honor for me as your pastor to sometimes stand between trouble and you, or trouble and this church. And I stand trying to shield to the best of my ability, not only you, but the church. Because that's where God has put me. And when I pray, and I have that privilege of prayer, just like you do, I'm able to walk into the very presence of God and ask for his help for you or for the church or for me. And I know that it's going to cause God to move, and that is a blessing beyond value. The worldly do not have that opportunity. The opportunity that you and I have. Because we are invited to come boldly before him and to call upon him. And he will hear us and answer us. Jeremiah 33 and 3. Or Matthew 7 through 11. He says that he hears us. And when he hears us, he will move. That's an awesome thing. Let's not neglect that privilege that we have. It is a great, great, great privilege to touch heaven for others. You ought to relish that. And you ought to daily be touching heaven for somebody. Moses touched heaven for Israel. We read about it there in Exodus chapter 17. That's your point one. Exodus 17, 10 through 13. May you and I be helped by God to see the deep need and the great privilege that we have, that we can literally pray hell's power off someone, our brothers and sisters, our children, our spouses. We can literally, by faith, shield someone from the very onslaught of hell. Now, they have to take advantage of it, but we can put that barrier of prayer up there day by day, and they can win the battles that they're in, just like Moses stood between Israel and destruction. And God moved on his behalf. As long as his hands were up, Israel was winning. They start to fall down because you get tired. But there was two men, Aaron and Hur, that held them up. So that took us to point two. When Abraham touched heaven for Sodom in Genesis 18, 20 through 33. And we just got started on this last week. Lost people need someone who knows the Lord to pray for them. And they don't always have it. And God told Abraham, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to look to see what's going on down there. And with all that sin, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham started bargaining with him. If you're on that first name basis with God, like Abraham was, then you can stand in the gap and you can bargain with God. You can ask and make requests of God. And he listens. And Abraham said, oh, you wouldn't kill everybody because there's righteous down there. And God said, well, no, I won't kill everybody. If there's, and they started all and went all the way down to 10. And we discussed last week that there was Lot and his wife and his two daughters and the two soon-to-be sons-in-law. So that was 6 already. All he needed was 4 more in the whole city of Sodom, and it would be all right. God would stay his hand. But they couldn't find 4 more. And I kind of look at Lot on that his testimony was not strong enough. That as long as he had been there and he sat in the gate and he judged between the people and they saw his life and they knew what kind of life he had, but his testimony was not strong enough to sway 4 more people. He never stood in the gap for them. But Abraham did. Your prayers can touch the heart of God. And God, in turn, touches the heart of a sinner or of men in general. It is possible, Oswald Sanders says, to move men through God by prayer. That's been proven over and over and over. Watchman Nee proved that. One that had all the orphanages. What was his name? I can't even think of his name right now. But he proved it. He said, I will never ask a man for a penny. I will ask God, and God will move the heart of man. And that's exactly what happened. George Mueller. I knew I'd think of it if I'd just play around long enough. But Mueller had over 1,000 kids in orphanages. And he had like 10 different orphanages. And he never asked anybody for anything. But God always supplied. Listen, God knows. And when we pray, God moves, whether it's on the heart of a man or it's in the supply. J. Sidlow Baxter said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, but they are helpless against our prayers. That child might be a lot like me whenever I was growing up. I didn't want anybody praying for me. I didn't want it. But my mama prayed anyway. And she pretty well said, you can't stop me. And I found that I was helpless against those prayers. And every time she would pray, God would come and tug at my heart. They may curse you. They may slam the door in your face, turn a deaf ear to your witness, but they cannot oppose your prayers because you're sending them directly to the throne of grace and to the Father. God, help us to carry the great burdens of the lost before the throne of grace and lay it down before God. Those people that are lost, they cannot carry their own message. their own cry, their own need. They need somebody that knows God, that can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. That's you and me. Because Jesus lives in our heart. He has already saved us. If you'll stand your ground, hell is helpless against you. Satan can't stop your prayers. Neither can society. They can pass all the laws they want that you can't pray in public. You can pray wherever you want to pray. And you can pray as much as you want to pray. And you can pray as loud as you want to pray. Just not through your mouth. Pray it in your brain. Man, you can shout in your brain. And God hears it with that much intensity. You can pray with the intensity of heart. God moves. As long as I live, Sidlow Baxter said, as long as I live, as long as I have breath in my lungs, I'll call your name. And you're not going to hell unless you stomp over my prayers. What a powerful, powerful man. How beautifully that was depicted in Lord of the Rings when whatever his name was with the long white beard stood and the dragon was coming. And he put his scepter down, said, "You shall not pass this way." Some mamas need to talk to their kids that way. You shall not go to hell unless you walk over my prayers. You don't let your children go to hell. If they're going, they better elbow their way through. Who are those lost ones you carry in your heart today? Every one of you knows somebody. Every one of you has somebody right here. You're carrying them. Don't give up on them. Don't stop. I'm glad Jesus didn't stop. He could have stopped over in Bethany and he would have never made it to the cross. Keep praying. It may take a while, but God's going to honor the prayers of his saints. A certain Scottish man who had lived a very worldly life was going over the records that was left by his father. After his father had passed away. His father was a very wealthy man. And he noticed something that was placed in the books. He noticed that his father had given large sums of money to orphanages operated by George Mueller. And he decided that his father might want him to continue to do that kind of work. So he decided to pay one of the orphanages a visit one day. And it just so happened that when he got there, there was a revival meeting that was going on for the boys and girls in the home. As he sat there and he listened to the sermon, there was a tremendous conviction that moved upon his life. Because of his sins. When the altar call was given, this Scottish gentleman stood to his feet, walked with the kids, and knelt at the altar. My Uncle Herbert had lived a life that was wayward and lost. My mom prayed for him the way that she prayed for me. She took care of him. He was an alcoholic. He was a drunk. But she would clean him up ever so often, make him come and stay with us until he got sober for a while. And then she'd turn him loose and he'd go back out and he'd do it again. And it wouldn't be long, especially after I got to where I could drive. She'd say, go find Herbert. Bring him here. And I'd go and hunt him up. Well, he went to live with Mom and Dad in South Georgia. Dad got him a job as the custodian of the church. They were having a children's crusade, and he had to be there every night to straighten up and clean up after the kids finished. And the last night was Saturday night, and he had to stay until the very end to make sure that everything was set up for Sunday morning. But that night, as they started the altar call, God got a hold of my uncle's heart. My uncle was probably 6'4". He weighed about 350, 400 pounds. Big man. When the altar call was given, he got up and he walked down the aisle, knelt at a little altar. Every kid that was there gathered around him and laid their hands on him and started praying. My Uncle Herbert gave his heart to Jesus, and he was never the same. His one desire was to see my baby born, because Susan was pregnant. But he developed lung cancer, and he held on. And Damaris was born at 2:30 in the afternoon. I called Mom somewhere around 3. And I said, we had a little girl and we named her Damaris. We'll bring her over as soon as we can. She walked in, she told Uncle Herbert, Bernie had a little girl. Her name's going to be Damaris. An hour later, he was gone. He waited. Don't give up. God's got things under control. That night when that Scottish gentleman gave and surrendered his heart to Jesus, he stood and gave this testimony of his conversion. He said, for 38 years, George Mueller has not ceased to reach out to young boys, young girls. My father diligently gave, so now I'm giving. Not just money, but I'm giving myself. And one of the ladies that worked there stood up and she said, it's not surprising to me, because for 38 years, George Mueller has not ceased to pray for you every day. Don't give up. Don't stop. You're praying for somebody? Hold them up. God will move. Mays Jackson told of preaching in a meeting. He was using as a text Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. He preached that message that night. After the service, he was standing at the door shaking hands. There was a little boy that walked up to him at the door and said, "Do you believe what you preached tonight?" And Brother Mays said, "Well, yes, I do." And the little boy proceeded to tell him that his daddy had abandoned him when he was just a baby. Left and went out to have a life of drink and women. Nobody was left at home but him and his mom. He said he had not seen or heard from his daddy since the day that he left. And he told Brother Mays, he said, "I want to see my daddy saved more than anything else in the world. Will you covenant with me and claim that my daddy's going to be saved?" Brother Mays said he was kind of ashamed because he had real doubts, but that little boy had real faith. So to satisfy the boy, he said, "Sure, I'll agree with you." That night, he laid on his bed and he went over Matthew 18:19 one more time. And he said, "God, if you can, would you answer that little boy's faith?" And he said, the Holy Spirit said to him, "What about your faith?" And he said, "I'm sorry, God, I don't have as much faith as that little boy. But he's got faith in me, and I don't want to fail him." So the last night came. The revival would be over that night. Every night, the little boy, just as church was starting, he would stand up and he would look back over the crowd. And then he would sit back down. That night he did the same thing. He stood up and he looked over the crowd. Put a big smile on his face. And he looked up at Brother Mays and he says, "That's my daddy. That's my daddy back there. You preach good." Brother Mays said he preached a message that he stumbled through. But God took that message and pierced the heart of that father. At the end of the service, that man walked down the aisle. He took his wife and his son and pulled them close. And then he fell at the altar. And he repented of his sins and he gave his life to Jesus. Don't you give up. Whoever you're praying for, however long it's been, however dire the circumstances, don't give up. I'm glad that Mama didn't give up on me. My dad did not give up on me. As far as I know, they were the only two that was praying for me. But oh, that little Baptist woman could pray. Get on my nerves, she could pray so good. Are you touching heaven for somebody tonight? If you're not, you should be. Point three. Hezekiah touched heaven for Jerusalem. And this is short, and I'm going to finish eventually. Hezekiah touched heaven for Jerusalem. 2 Kings 19:14-37. Jerusalem was under threat by Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. If he is allowed to attack them, the people of Jerusalem will suffer tremendously, untold brutalities. But King Hezekiah turns to the Lord in prayer. He calls upon God, and God honors his prayer. And the Lord answers and moves in power and sends forth his angels, and they slay 185,000 Syrian soldiers in one night. Sennacherib is assassinated by his own sons. And God spared the people of Jerusalem because one man touched heaven. How awesome. I just want to remind you that some of God's people are walking through deep valleys today. Some of your brothers and sisters, maybe even those that are sitting on the same row with you, they're walking through those deep, dark valleys, and they're walking alone. Some of those that are sitting close to you may be carrying burdens. The rest of us cannot even imagine how heavy, how it weighs them down, how it tears at their innermost being. They need someone who will stand up with them in the day of their battle and go to God on their behalf and call them before the Lord as they're calling others. They need someone who will stand with them and pay the price. Shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, and they'll lift the burden. They need somebody that'll touch heaven for them. That somebody might be you. When Dwight Eisenhower was a little boy, he had polio. Many of you never learned that in school. But he was afflicted with polio. And the doctors told his mother, and she was a devout, praying Christian, this boy will never walk again. The mother said, "We'll see about that." And she refused to believe what the doctor was saying. And she threw herself across that sick body of her son. And she began to call on God. She said, "Lord, you didn't send this boy into this world to be a cripple. You sent him into this world for a great purpose. Touch him and deliver him now." And God did. God delivered him, God touched him, and God used him. You know who Dwight Eisenhower was. Around the world, he was known as the general. He commanded the forces as they landed in Normandy and they fought to liberate France and Germany. In Galatians 6 and 2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Never are we more like Jesus than when we're loving others and standing with them in the gap, making up the hedge, calling names before the Lord. As we sit here this morning, every one of us knows somebody that's struggling. It may be a neighbor. It may be a family member. It may be a coworker. Every one of us knows somebody that's struggling. I praise God for every time somebody reaches up and rings those prayer bells for this preacher. How much greater would it be if we'd ring those prayer bells for the suffering that are all around us? And then lastly, point four, Jesus touched heaven for souls. Luke 23:34. Jesus had been brought to Calvary. He's been nailed to the cross to atone for the sins of humanity. He submitted to the cruel torture of his tormentors. Never opened his mouth in protest. At any second, he could call 10,000s of 10,000s of angels, and they would have come and liberated him. He speaks not a word. As he's hanging on the cross, from his lips comes, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." This passage is the greatest prayer that's ever been prayed. When Christ called out for forgiveness for those who were tormenting him. Imagine what's going on in heaven at that moment. I believe that every angelic being was waiting, just listening. The Father is watching. His Son is dying. Suffering is going on. The cup has been drank. Sin has been ingested. Perfection was doing away with sin. But what it was doing to his innermost being, to his spirit man, it was untold agony. The Father was watching all of this. Heaven saw all of this. The Lamb of God was hanging, giving his life for the lost, for you, for me. His voice is praying for his tormentors. What grace, what love, that while life was leaving his body, he was calling for life from God to touch those that were killing him. Jesus touched heaven for them. They hated him, and he loved them. Thank God that he touched heaven, because I was one of those that he called out to the Father, "Forgive him. He don't know what he's doing," because I didn't. John chapter 19, verse 30, the last part. Jesus said, "It's finished." With that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. At that moment, he reached up to heaven, cried out, "It's finished." Every demand of God was satisfied for the sins of the ages. Every sin that had ever been committed, every lie that had ever been told, everything that had ever gone on, suddenly the blood of Christ was cleansing. He reached down to the lost. And from one hand being in heaven, saying it's finished, the other hand reaching down, offering full salvation, the price has been paid. Come. He was buried. 3 days later, you know what happened. The stone rolled away. The grave was empty. Then a short while later, standing on, I believe, Mount Moriah, Jesus ascended back into heaven once and for all. The Mount of Olives, I'm sorry. And that's where he's coming back, to the Mount of Olives, and he'll set his foot down right there. I am so grateful for the day when the Holy Ghost made it clear to me that that man that died on Calvary died for me. And if I would accept him by faith, Bernie Lewis could be saved. And every sin that I'd committed could be washed away. And I could walk with him for the rest of my life. And he'd never leave me, nor would he forsake me. The day that the Holy Spirit made that clear, it was a Monday afternoon, about 4:30 in the afternoon. The next day he made it clear to her. Because he knew that I couldn't make it by myself. I needed her. Jesus touched heaven for me on that Monday. All the prayers that my mom, my dad had prayed, they burst forth and brought fruition. And flowered in my life. Because I didn't get just a little bit saved. I got a whole lot saved. I had a whole lot to get saved from. John chapter 6 verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, Jesus said. And the one who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Thank God that Jesus touched heaven for me. But more than that, he touched heaven for you. Bow your heads with me, would you please, for just a moment. Sir Walter Raleigh stepped before the Queen of England, and he made a request of her. And the queen was a little bit indignant. And she said, Raleigh, when are you going to stop begging? And Sir Walter Raleigh said, when your majesty stops giving. God is giving as long as we ask. If you have somebody, if you have something, or maybe it's you yourself, if there's a need that's present in your life, you can come boldly before his throne of grace and you can ask and he will grant. God never grows tired of our asking. He never grows tired in giving. He's got everything you need. Father, you see every head that's bowed. You hear every heart that cries out to you. You know the needs that are sometimes buried deep within our hearts. God, I'm asking that you would hear every cry. That God, you would dispatch the Holy Spirit right now to move among these that are sitting here in this congregation. Would you touch heart after heart, life after life? And those that they are lifting before you, loved ones, friends, fellow Christians, would you dispatch answers for each? God, let us touch heaven. For somebody today. I asked last week, I'm going to ask again this week, very, very quickly. If there's somebody on your heart right now, somebody that you know that needs Jesus, maybe it's you. Maybe it's a family member, a loved one. Maybe it's somebody at school. But you know somebody that needs Jesus. And you're lifting them up. And you'd say, Pastor, would you lift me up as I'm lifting others up? If you'll slip your hand heavenward, I'll pray for you. Oh, yeah. All over this place. Father, you see, you hear. You can hear us all at once. Lord, I'm overwhelmed by the number that responded. I'm asking that as they're lifting these needs before you, God, you would give victory to each one of them. That this battle, this day, can be won. See the need, and oh God, meet the need. And we'll praise you and thank you. And God, I remember where most of the hands were. Help them not to slip from my memory. But let me pray for each person that have raised their hands this morning as I prayed for each one last week. Have your way.